Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? It's Ralph Sutton and Big J Ogerson on the SDR Show. Very unique episode this week. We swap stories with Bebe Buell and Liz Derringer, tell stories from the old school rock and roll days. It's a very fun episode. And Jay and I apparently look roughly the same age, which you'll find out in the episode.
No, that's not what they said, that you really want that to happen. Stay tuned at the very end when they call Shannon ugly.
Yeah, I mean, look, she deserves it. But don't forget, we do the show live every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to thesdrshow.com/live or subscribe now at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the code SDR and you get a 2-week free trial only to the end of the month. Starting in April, we go to a 7-day free trial. So if you want to try out the network for 2 weeks, now's the time to do it. Use the code SDR. And here it is right now, the Liz Derringer, Bebe Buell episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show.
It is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton, back once again. Very happy to see this dude. I feel like I haven't seen you in a very long time, Jay. What's going on with you besides being part of my club, of the Vaccination Club?
We're in the Vaccination Club now. Bonfire's back on Sirius XM. That's exciting. And I am officially on the road again like a sumbitch.
Yeah, that's good. Well, it means that the world is slowly opening up, which is exciting to me. I mean, I feel like we're slowly going to have some sense of normalcy. At the top of the show, as always, follow us everywhere at the SDR Show. You can give us a 5-star review on iTunes and just share the show with everyone and anyone. That's how we grow, kids. And right now, here's how I will say this. Very often, I like to think that I've lived some sort of a rock star life, having a radio show for years, working with a lot of musicians and the people I grew up idolizing and loving. But holy shit, did these women live rock star lives. They are modern day rock and roll muses. They're both authors. They both have just lived the rock and roll lifestyle more than anyone else could ever. It is Bebe Buell, Liz Derringer. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
And yeah.
Hi, how are you?
And right off the top, where are you two? I know you're not in the same location. Where are you guys?
I'm in the Hamptons.
Ooh,
and I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. Okay.
So right before we went live.
In Nashville.
Oh, you were?
I said Tennessee a little weird. Tennessee, yeah. Not Tennessee.
Yeah, when Nate Bargatze seen a bunch of comics move down there, and I just did the Zanies Comedy Club maybe like a month ago.
It's a great comedy club, isn't it?
It's great. Yeah, I love it. I go to there a decent amount, but it's it's like a new
Let me put my glasses on so I can see you better. Yeah, I went to see Margaret Chow when she played there. It's a great club. Sure. We've got great stuff here in Nashville. It's a sea of blue. It's a speck of blue, actually, in a sea of red.
Yeah. I also know a lot of musicians have moved there. A lot of rock stars are living there now. A lot of comics have moved there. It seems to be like the hot new spot in the country.
This is going to
I've been here for 8 years. So I was kind of on the, I came before a lot of other people did, but
this is going to be unpopular, but I got to say, and even Hattie B's particularly, the Nashville hot chicken, it's a bit overrated.
Well, I don't eat chicken, so, but I hear, I mean, people love it, but I think the chicken spot here that gets all the praise is called Prince's.
Prince's?
Yeah, Prince's Hot Chicken.
Can I ask a stupid question? What is hot chicken? Is it fried chicken with hot sauce, or is there more to it?
No, it's different. It's not in hot sauce. It's like a hot rub. Almost, you know what I mean? So it's like dry. It's not like saucy chicken.
They have like some that is so hot that people, you know,
Bebe used to carry around Tabasco sauce in her purse.
I still carry my hot sauce in my purse, but I eat other things. I eat like hot broccoli, you know, hot cauliflower.
Vegan? Bebe, are you vegan or vegetarian?
I'm a little bit of both. I fluctuate. It depends. my friends that have beautiful, loved, happy chickens, if they give me some eggs, I will enjoy them. Okay. I'm not real, you know, real off dairy if it comes from a friend's farm. Okay. Then I'll.
Is it a chicken or a cow that had a good life?
Is it moral reasons or is it health reasons?
It's spiritual reasons. I have some kind of connection with animals that makes it impossible for me to harm them on any level.
Well, I get spiritual reasons more than I get health reasons. I don't think that it's actually healthier. I do think that especially a lot of vegan restaurants is like deep fried tofu. It's just not healthy. There's no way that's healthy. But I get that the spiritual or the ethical reason behind it. Jay, right before we went live, I said to Liz Derringer that I have two stories that either you're going to know or not, and either I'm just going to look like an idiot, maybe not, but it's somehow I'm connected loosely to Mr. Derringer, your former spouse. Oh, God, I think it's like 86 or 87. He used to come all the time to a comedy club in New York City called Upstairs at Green Street. Were you ever there with him?
No.
Ah, shit.
No.
Okay, because my mom used to run that comedy club.
Oh,
and
yeah.
When I mentioned today that I was interviewing you, she goes, "Oh my God, Rick used to come all the time. Please see if he remembers." And
wait, rock and roll Hoochie Coo Rick Derringer?
Hoochie Coo Rick Derringer. Hang on, Sloopy Rick Derringer. And then I did a show. I did a rock show with him, but I think that was probably after you got divorced at a rock club in Queens. I mean, in Staten Island.
So don't worry. He wasn't cheating on you with Ralph. It was all above board.
All right. So let's just start with this. Like, you two apparently lifelong friends. Is that fair to say?
Pretty much.
Yes. Yeah. Right. I was 18 when I met Liz. I was 18 and you were 20?
21.
Right. And Liz, you grew up with Steven Tyler and introduced her to BB. Is that right?
Well, what happened was I went to school with Steven. I think BB had met him somewhere else, but, you know, they just met. And then we were out in L.A. and we went to a Columbia convention. The record companies used to have these wonderful collections.
The CBS convention.
Convention when they had a lot of money, you know. Mm-hmm. BB and I went, and I went to school with Steven in New York, and I knew him from there. And then Rick, Aerosmith used to open for Edgar Winter when Rick was in the band. Mm-hmm. And then it turned around, and Rick started opening for Aerosmith for a long time. We traveled the world together. And we were at the Columbia Convention, and in walks Steven, and BB's sitting with me.
Well, we were standing when we met. We were going in, remember? Okay. It was at the doors.
Okay.
And we passed in the wind, and he sort of went, you know, he did that thing he does. It was so sweet, but yes.
What's funny is I watched an interview with you, BB, with Joe Franklin from, I gotta guess, it was like early 80s, maybe late 70s. I don't know what year.
Oh,
that
no,
was.
That was early 80s.
Yeah, early 80s. And it was just captivating to watch. And just, you know, which I would like you to elaborate on this a little bit, listening to how you described when you first heard rock and roll and realized, oh, this is for me.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Oh, okay. You mean from the interview or
just in general? You don't have to recap it verbatim, but just, you know, in general.
Well, you know, I just think that we're all here for whatever reason we're here. And I think we're connected to certain things. I think we have spiritual connections and karmic connections. And I think that when I heard rock and roll the first time, it struck me. I felt like I had met my people. I felt like I was home. You know, I felt like there was some kind of solace and protection within this womb. You know, I loved it. Music just made me crazy. It made me the happiest I've ever been. When I heard the Rolling Stones, it sealed my fate.
But
that
were
was
you
it.
Already listening to music and then rock pivoted it or... Where,
no, we were
rock,
big music buffs. My mother always had Frank Sinatra records, Eddie Arnold. She was she always had albums. We always had a lot of music and art in the house. My mother was an interior decorator. She flirted with that when I was a little girl. And so we knew a lot of interesting people. And music was always part of life. But music was in the car. It would be on the radio. So back in those days, they played everything on the same channel. You would get right. Satisfaction, you would get the Everly Brothers, and then you would get a country song. Radio was much more mixed. So a good song was a good song. I didn't really categorize what kind of music I liked. Mm-hmm. I just loved music.
Right.
And my first 45 was Crying by Roy Orbison.
Oh, wow.
And so I listened to all kinds of music before the Rolling Stones. I got woke when I saw the Rolling Stones on Ed Sullivan. That was my big woke moment.
And I love the story that it was your mother that sent your high school picture.
That word has really taken on a change over the last few years.
Yeah, and
oh, the old woke, word?
The woke moment does not sound like what you're describing.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that anymore, for sure. That's for sure.
I don't know what it means now,
boring.
Know that
it means boring people.
used to be an epiphany, right?
Yeah, not anymore. Yeah. Now it means that you are... I guess what? Extremely socially conscious? Is that a good way to put
it? Funny about that. If you say you're woke now, that means that like a year ago, you thought black people were less than white. Because like, that's a weird thing to say.
Oh, no.
We know what you didn't mean that, BB. We know that. But
No. I know you didn't mean that. I'm just saying when people say it's like, I'm woke now, it's like, well, what the hell did you believe 2 years ago? I don't have to wake up.
I get it. You know, I've got to be really careful because I don't know all the lingo. I never paid attention to lingo much, but yeah, it was the Rolling Stones that sort of awoke something in me.
Very nice edit, BB. I mean, you made that work.
That ignited, you know, passion and excitement and whatever sexuality a 9 or 10 year old understands. I just know that I thought Mick Jagger was the bee's knees or whatever. Right. So.
And then also, I love that I was saying that your mother sent your high school photo to Eileen. Is it Eileen Ford? Is that the right name?
Did. She put it in the envelope and stuck it in the mail. She didn't even priority it. I don't even know if they had priority mail in those days. She sent a couple of snapshots that she had taken of me around the house. And oh, boy, the next thing I knew, my mother got a phone call. Like immediately, and we were on an airplane. It just happened that quick. We were on an airplane and we were in the Warwick Hotel in New York City, and I was on 59th Street at the agency, and she signed me in 10 minutes.
It's just nuts. It's just such a crazy time. I want to ask you both, because I saw in clips from both of you talking about this one venue that unfortunately I never got to experience here in New York, but it seemed like it was the venue to be at, which is Max's Kansas City. Jay, were you ever there, Jay?
What?
You know, it's like in the 80s. It's possible you could be. It could have been there.
Too young.
It could have been.
I was closed born in 1977.
You closed in 77?
No, I was born in 77.
Oh, that's right. You're a lot younger than me.
He's born the same year my daughter was born. Oh. No, Max's wasn't all happening in 77. It was late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah. And that's where every rock star on the planet would come to New York.
Well, they would actually go to the scene. Which was Max's wasn't quite open yet when the scene was happening in the 60s. Steve Paul's The Scene and Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin and every band came from England. That's the first place they played. And I mean, Jim Morrison, everybody. And they could have put up a sign appearing nightly, Jimi Hendrix. My husband was part of the house band. And we'd play with Jimmy, and the bass player would always be Randy Hobbs from the McCoys, and everybody else would come in and join that band and jam at night. I remember one time sitting there was nowhere to sit. It was Jimi Hendrix and Jeff Beck that night.
Jesus.
The only place I could find to sit was on Jeff Beck's amplifier. My ears are still ringing.
you know, I'm a little too young for this too. But Ralph, funny enough, after the Spanish flu, 1918, Ralph played oboe in a band at the Cotton Club.
That's true.
Are you guys familiar with the Roaring Twenties? I know you ladies are a little young for this, but Ralph,
I was big on that scene back then.
If my math is right,
if
my math is right, Ralph played tenor sax. Ralph played tenor sax with Benny Goodman.
Yes, yeah, and Satchmo, Satchmo and I. Yeah.
Well, Liz got to do a lot of stuff that I missed because I didn't even come to New York till 72.
I was
72, so I missed the scene. I missed all that, but I did not miss Max's. That was my living room.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't like it as much as I did.
Me?
Yeah, you weren't as obsessed as I was.
I was more with Andy Warhol at Max's rather than rock stars, I think.
Yeah.
The rock stars were the scene for me. And
72 was like the peak of all that. 72, 73, especially when Bowie walked in the first time, that changed everything. That was unbelievable. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
He walked into Max's, you're saying?
Yeah, the back room. Nobody had ever seen anything like him. He had red hair, all spiky, no eyebrows, mm-hmm. and a powder blue suit on. And he, you know, he definitely looked like he was from another planet. That was what he was striving for.
Right.
And all of us fell for it. We knew we were meeting an alien.
That's so wild. So let me go back to
that's how Ralph felt when Glenn Miller walked into the Copacabana in 1935.
Yeah, because his timing was so unique, Jay. I just was hypnotized by it. The way he coordinated the conduct of the band. So BB, so the first rock star that you were linked with as far as dating was Todd Rundgren. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. I think so. I kind of don't really like to look at it that way. I look at it this way. Todd was my first really serious boyfriend. Mm-hmm. You know, the first guy I ever lived with. And really lived with, not just hung out with or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, it just opened an entire world that once you become part of, I think Liz can tell you this, once you become part of that world, there's no turning back.
Mm-hmm.
You can't find any kind of fulfillment in normal life again.
Because I remember, Jay, right after I got in with Glenn Miller, immediately after Count Basie just started to hang out with me all the time. So
that was
it was
pretty
like,
big.
Well, we started to hang out.
Is it true? Were you used for the Star Spangled Banner?
Yeah. Francis Scott Key. Yeah, he was a good friend of mine.
I think I was very lucky to meet BB. She lived across the street from me with Todd. And then we both moved to the West Village. But I was lucky to meet BB because it was at the time where I was hanging out with Andy Warhol, and he used to call me Mrs. Rockstar because I knew all the rock stars. And when he started Interview Magazine, he asked me to go interview all the rock stars.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember the night I met BB, we were at Moogie Klingman's loft, and Todd and Rick were recording.
With Bette Midler, right?
Wow.
Well, she was there that night, Bette.
Yeah. Well, she dated Moogie.
She was dating Moogie then?
I think so.
Oh, my God. I had no idea. But I was like 18.
Mark Klingman.
I'll never forget meeting you. We hit it off immediately.
Immediately.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. You've been close since whatever, how many years that is. It's a very long time.
Very long time.
I have a couple of questions.
A very long time.
But I was lucky to meet BB because when Interview Magazine started, Andy Warhol asked me to go out and interview the rock stars I knew. And mm-hmm. BB was into rock stars. So, you know, either I would interview him or she would meet them somewhere and then I would interview him. So, you know, we just had so much fun back then because,
right.
you know, we had incredible reasons to be there. BB was a muse. I mean, these rock stars were madly in love with her. It was unbelievable.
You were 18 when you got into the scene, BB?
I was 18 when I started to live with Todd. When I came to New York, I was at a place called St. Mary's Woman's Residence, which is like a Barbizon hotel. And it was on 72nd Street. But the difference was it was run by nuns. Eileen thought I would be comfortable there because I spent my whole life in Catholic schools, you know, getting beat with rulers and swatted by the nuns. So I kind of had that thing with the nuns, but I kept breaking my curfew. Yeah. So I sort of got thrown out of St. Mary's, and Todd said, well, why don't you just come and stay here? And that's when he had the apartment on 13th Street. Yeah. And Liz and Rick had a place on West 13th Street. And then Todd and I moved to Horatio Street, and you and I found that apartment or townhouse.
I was on East 13th Street also.
We were on 13th Street forever. Horatio Street was 13th Street.
I'm more happy to hear, because it was funny, you know, another like, you know, rock star muses have been like interviewed, you know, Connie, I don't remember her last name, but like her stories start way too young.
That's apples and oranges. Liz and I don't have anything to do with that kind of lifestyle. That's not who we were. I mean, we were actually wives, spouses.
Rock and roll royalty.
Oh yeah,
exactly. Back when that kind of thing existed, it was Mick and Bianca, Liz and Rick, BB and Todd, right. Angie and David. The rock super couple was really important at that point. It was very funny.
Well, you became immediately famous. You become like immediately known.
Well, most of us had our own career. I mean, I had my own career. I was already a model when I met Todd, and when I did Playboy in 74, he got as much attention out of it as I did. Because you were already
with him? I started dating
Todd in 72.
Ralph, you sounded jealous there. You're like, were you with him?
But Playboy came out in 74, and it was the first time a rock star ever appeared in the picture stories, what they used to call it. They had as many pictures of you with clothes on in Playboy in those days as with clothes off. But he was the first rock star to ever do a picture story with one of the girls in the magazine. So we created an entirely different stigma. I don't like to judge people. I feel like people should be able to do whatever they want. But Liz and I weren't the kind of girls that had to go hunting for anything.
Well, let me ask you this: you're tied to a lot of different rock stars in the biggest of the biggest rock stars. I imagine there are songs that were written because of you or about you. There's probably dozens. Do you know of any specific ones for anyone where they said, "Yeah, well, that's about you"?
Well, I mean, you just don't, you never know, because I find with these guys that they tend to, if they're in love with you that moment, they'll tell you, oh, I wrote you this song. It's beautiful. Give it to you. I have gifts that have been given to me, cassettes, you know, love letters. And then, you know, you have a falling out, or they decide they don't love you anymore. Or they marry somebody else, and they, you know, they will say, oh, I never wrote that song about her. I wrote it about so-and-so down the street. So you can't really assume, unless it's Layla, unless it's a song like Eric Clapton.
Yeah,
absolutely. Right. Angie is, that's another myth. Liz and I asked Mick flat out who Angie was about, and it wasn't about Angela Bowie. it was not about her, but they had the same name.
Oh, no, that's what I'm just saying. Like, the name, though, is definitely, when it's like a name about, it's definitely
right.
I wasn't even making like a correlation.
Oh, I see.
Between you and the Connie thing, other than saying just people who were like known for being in that world. Like, you guys just seem like you were of an appropriate age to be jumping in. Like those stories, like when someone gets into that, I have an 18-year-old daughter, so just picturing like,
oh, 15 no, no, I mean, yes, being absolutely. In the mix
like that.
Guys got away with murder in those days. Girls were dating them at 14.
Because also, by the way, there are many rock songs from back then where the lines are that, like, the Benny Bardone, she's just 16 years old, and this song that are like, about that.
You know Benny Mardones, if you watch him interview, rest in peace, Benny Mardones, but he goes, once he realized how iffy those lyrics were. He was like, yeah, it was about my neighbor who wanted to hook up with my dog walker. And I was like, bro, she's just 16 years old. I'm like, well, then why don't you make yourself the good guy in the story? Like, why are you singing from the part of the guy?
You know, it's a very different time. Sure. You know, I mean, the same guys that were dating 14-year-olds turned around and get knighted, you know, yeah, or get a sir title. It's a different time. But nobody was held hostage, as far as I know.
I don't even think that. I'm just saying, like, just exactly, like, no one even was worried about it, like, coming off or looking weird. Where it's like today, that is so.
These
guys would be in jail now.
They weren't woke yet. That was the problem.
That's right. True. You're absolutely right. It was like, yeah, it was much less woke.
Right. So
these guys were really in love with BB. I mean, every one of them. It's true.
They also stomped on my heart, a few of them. But
yeah, but you stomped on their hearts too, BB.
Imagine, by the way, BB, she brought it up because you're. I mean, just some of the names that I saw that you were dating or in love with or married or engaged, whatever, between Mick Jagger, David Bowie, Todd Rundgren, Steven Tyler, I imagine, and a few others. You know, Iggy Pop and Jimmy Page. There had to be, because look, men are men, right? There had to be some jealousy there when you were with one to the other and they all know each other. They're all part of the same universe. Or was it a free love 70s? There is no anger.
It must be funny to get like a sad sack middle of the night. There's no texting back then. Say, picture that coming from Iggy Pop.
Well, no,
what are you doing?
If somebody liked you in those days, they would call or write a letter or have their assistant or somebody bring flowers to your door. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of different ways that guys would get through to you. Most of the time they would find your phone number, even if you lived with somebody else, and start calling. Yeah. But I think
at events and things.
Yeah, lots of events we met people, but technically, I don't think I ever met one guy that I ever had a very serious relationship with backstage or in that kind of environment.
No, but even I'm not insinuating that. But what I'm thinking is that just because they all know each other.
Oh, yeah. You know,
there had to be uncomfortable conversations at some point.
Ralph, also what I find fascinating is that's got to be a strange feeling going from, like, when you're first seeing these people, you have to have that initial reaction of like, well, we're seeing like rock gods, and people weren't as touchable as they are today. So like, you've only seen them in magazines and the TV.
Weird. No, I don't agree.
But I think
it's the total opposite.
But I'm saying what's fascinating to me is like, you've had days in your life where you've been like, oh, Mick Jagger's being so annoying today.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
But I've also had, you know, days in my life where meeting Groucho Marx and Salvador Dali did freak me out, you know, to the point where I went home and called my mother and said, Mom, I had tea with Salvador Dali today. You know,
I did that to my grandmother when I rode an elevator with Carl Reiner.
Yeah. I mean, that's Carl Reiner is a god to some people. Everybody's got a different perception of what fame is or what talent is or what any of that stuff is. I think when we were kids, when I was 18, 19, we didn't think about it that way. Oh, that person's famous that person is. We just thought this is our life.
Ralph took a steam train across country with Cab Calloway once. He was 35 years old.
I was 38.
Well, that's pretty fabulous.
The funny thing is that these guys, while they're legends now, they weren't legends in 72, you know, so it's a different time. You know, they became legends. It's not like they were legends when you met them. It's a different vibe. But I'm still saying, and I don't mean to harp on this, but I have to imagine, like, I don't know the trajectory of who you dated when, but let's just say, I don't know, let's say after Todd Rundgren, it was.
You want to know the jealous part.
Yeah, yes, I just want to hear this. There had to be like one time where Steven Tyler said, well, why the fuck are you dating David Bowie now? Or whatever the hell it was. That had to happen at least once.
Well, it depends. When I dated Steven, I wasn't really dating anybody else. I had left
a relationship. I'm using this as an example. I'm just saying it had to happen.
Yes, there was sometimes jealousy, but you have to remember the times.
That's right.
It was very uncool, right, Liz, to act jealous. Yeah. I mean, everybody was sort of, it was very uncool.
Drugs, sex, and rock and roll.
it was very Bob Ted Alice, who's the one I'm jealous, leaving out?
I'd be jealous of the bony guys because I know they all have big wieners. That's what I would assume. Steven Tyler has a big wiener. I'd be like, can you at least like go fucking bang David Crosby or something so I don't feel so jealous?
I think wieners are what they are. My husband and I have been together 21 years, so the only wiener I really think about now is his. But if I were going to reflect on wiener, I mean, yes, I think that's part of the DNA. I don't know.
I'll tell you what. I went to a Huey Lewis concert, fifth row, like 3 years ago, and man, all I could stare at was that hog in those jeans. It was crazy. It was crazy.
And if he's not even a real rock star, imagine what a real rock star has.
Shut
in his
your
pants.
Mouth about Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis? He's brilliant. What do you mean he's not a real rock star? Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
Do you like Huey Lizard?
Yeah, sure.
Ralph's a little.
He's a little too modern for my taste.
Yeah, he's a little old for Ralph.
All right, before we go any further, fans of the show who are over 21, we got something you're going to love.
Boy, yes, you're going to love it.
It is EmpireDirect.com. Mr. Empire.
Yes?
Can you tell the people a little bit about it, please?
Oh, well, all that CBD stuff is now again for homos. If you want to get fucked up again, we can legally sell you Delta HTHC in 42 of the coolest states.
Have you tried the Delta HTHC?
Oh, yes. We get very turned up. The Wolfman and Frankenstein came over. And boy, oh boy, did we tell stories by a fire.
That was actually me, sir.
Oh, yay. Oh, Frank. Hello.
Empire Direct is priced to keep you high with the promo code GASDABS for $5 off any of their products.
Get
they have distillate.
For $5 off.
Delta 8 THC distillate syringes for dabbing for 15,
for
Delta
junkies.
8 gummies for 15, and 1 gram
for
of Delta
children.
8 dabs for 15.
For the Jews.
The Jews like to save money, Empire.
They love diamonds, though.
The Jews, I guess that's true. Go to EmpireDirect.com for the Delta 8 THC. Use the promo code GASDABS. $5 off anything that you purchase.
It's pretty much just those things, but yes.
And right now you can enter for a chance to win a $1,000 dab rig.
No, it's $9.99. I paid a marketing expert, and he said that was the way to play it. Please read the copy I sent.
$9.99 dab rig. You can enter for a chance to win at EmpireDirect.com. Use the code GASDABS for $5 off your order. If you're driving or you can't write anything down, don't worry. The link is in the episode description
no
as
worries,
well.
No worries, you lazy, fat-fingered idiot.
All right, let's get back into it. How about this? Because so much of your lives have centered around rock and roll. Do you even listen to new rock, or you have no interest in new rock and roll?
Oh, definitely. I love Justin Bieber.
Well, I wouldn't call him rock, but you're allowed to like him.
Pop. I love pop music. Always pop music.
I mean, I'm the opposite of Liz. I love rock music. I am a rock person. I still perform rock. Yeah. I'm always on the quest
rock.
For great rock bands. Like, do you look for new rock at all? Like, do you look to hear new music?
No, I don't look. I'm a musician. Of course I want to hear great music. I make records. I'm an entertainer.
Right, but I mean, we've had many rock stars on the show that do not listen to modern music at all.
That's too bad. They're missing out. I can't wait till as soon as we get off this interview, I'm going to go listen to the new Kings of Leon record.
Cool.
I love them. I love a band called Starcrawler out of LA. I love Starbender, another star band. I like the Struts. I love the Struts.
We just had the Struts on the show 2-3 weeks ago, I think. They're
and
super cool
I just put out a single with the Dandy Warhols. I like to keep current. But my passion band right now is a very young band that isn't famous yet called The Scent.
How do you spell like, that?
The smell.
Oh, scent, like a smell.
The okay. Scent, like
is that Dice Clay's Kids?
Huh?
Is that Dice Clay's Kids?
I didn't hear what he said.
Just
I missed the joke. I'm sorry.
No. I guess it was Andrew Dice Clay's Kids. They have a band. in LA.
Anyway, no, they're from Australia, so they live in Nashville, so they call them Nash Aussians.
Yeah, you're in a good town for new music too, because that's becoming a major hub for it. People aren't doing the LA trip anymore. They're going right to Nashville. A lot of bands.
Well, the thing is, you know, I used to be on stage all the time until Corona. One thing that's great about Nashville is that everybody jumps on stage with each other. And one of the big thrills of my life was Steven having me come up on stage with him in front of 30,000 people and do Train Kept Rolling.
Yeah, I just saw that video. That was not that long ago. That was like in
2018.
My favorite video was when Steven was singing Happy Birthday to you on a toy piano.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad. It makes me so happy that we're so close. I mean, we should be. We made a beautiful child together.
And is that true that he did not know it was his child?
He knew. That is the crazy. Listen, that whole story has been so told that, you know, folklore takes on its own personality. Mm-hmm. And let's put it this way. It was a confusing situation. Liz was with me through the whole thing. I think Liv was conceived in Liz's bed, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow. Hey, now.
Well, hey, now.
They stayed at my house, and I had a bedroom upstairs, and I stayed downstairs. I always say if I was in that bed, Liv would have been a lot shorter.
Well,
I'm only 5 feet tall.
And also, BB, is it also read that Rick Ocasek is the one who first brought you into the studio to record your first song? Is that right?
Yes,
too?
Rick was my mentor. He was, and Liz's husband, Rick Derringer, the right. two of them. First Rick Ocasek and then Rick Derringer. And then Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick was going to do two songs. So I was going to have all these Rick. But I got this manager named Danny Sugarman, who was managing the remaining Doors. Mm-hmm. And he thought I should do something different. And so instead of taking the Epic deal that Dick Wingate offered me, Danny signed me to Rhino Records. So my debut record came out on Rhino in 1981.
Well, I also love that you opened for Motorhead at one point. I think that's great.
Oh, I didn't just open for Motorhead. Lemmy personally gave me a song to perform.
That's great.
Called I'll Be Your Sister. Yeah.
Do you know what's so funny, Ralph? As I said, I mean, I knew the information, but not putting two and two together right away. But I forgot that on my next, I think, because it's been going good, but I have a story that I'll tell on my next comedy special that is about taking a date to see Armageddon, and how your daughter made me have to run away so I didn't cry in front of a girl who thought I was tough.
Oh, at the end when she's on the TV?
Of course, yeah. I summarized the movie on stage like in a funny way, and then like I start singing Don't Want to Close My Eyes. It's really it's a fun story, because I took a girl who thought I was, like, I dressed very like a hip hop at that time because I was a fat kid and that was the choice, pretty much.
That was the option.
I dressed rock and roll. Yeah. So I used to dress very hip. And this girl was very, and like, just thought I was like a tough, like, you know, street kid. And, you know, I'm just like a Jewish kid who loves his grandma. And I went there and that scene was, I had to run out of the theater. I had to make an excuse to walk out. I was like,
why did you tell her you had to leave?
I was like, yo, this movie's so gay. I'm going to wait outside. And I went outside.
I'm going to go outside and beat up some kids. Oh, this movie stinks.
Yeah.
I remember going to Liv's first movie, Stealing Beauty, and sat with BB and Steven and Liv. And it was, you know, a lot of the story was about her finding her father.
Yeah. But that was a coincidence. And that was her fourth movie. She had made Empire Records. And,
I'm sorry.
And Heavy before that.
Right.
That's pretty wild. Can you say this story? We have a couple of the wrap-up questions, but is there, of all the men that were in your life, I mean, Liz, you were married for a very long time to him, right? It's like, so that's a different answer. But to you, BB, of the men that are known to be associated with you, is there one that sticks out as the one that meant the most to you?
Oh, gosh. You know, I'm going to give you such a boring answer. You're going to hate me, but I don't measure relationships by,
you know, we
the order, most
you don't measure
last
wieners either, we heard. So now you don't measure anything.
Well, I've been very lucky in the wiener department. I've never met a little wiener. I don't even know what a little wiener looks like.
Say hello to your first one.
Hey, what's up?
And I think guys that say they have little ones usually don't.
You don't mind dating older men like Ralph, do you?
Well, I'm so married, I can't even think about it. But yeah. My husband is 13 years younger than me, but we've been together 21 years.
And so. I got to tell you, he's the nicest person I've ever known in my life. Great guitar player, loves BB to death, and they are the most wonderful couple you ever.
Is he a musician as well, or like?
I love him. Well, yes. Do you guys do Instagram and all that fun stuff?
I've heard of it. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, go see my page. There's tons of pictures of him.
Okay, we'll take a looky though.
Yes, he's a guitar player.
And is he in a band right now that we would know? Like that's what he does?
He's in her band.
Well, he plays with me now, but he was in a band called Das Damen that was discovered by Thurston Moore and Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth back in the day. And they went on to open for Nirvana, and he's made many records. My husband's kind of like a legend from that scene.
That's cool.
I'm very proud of him. He's just one of those guys that is too cool for school.
I have a question for both.
Oh, whoa, oh, wow. There he is.
Hey,
good looking dude.
I have a question for both. Are you guys?
Liz, you were there when that got taken. That was that night after my show.
Oh, right. You mean at downtown?
The party they had after I did Joe's Pub.
That
was only a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I have a question for both of you in that, do you pine for those days, or are you like, are you enjoying getting older and watching like your kids grow? Like, are you enjoying that, or do you really still have like an itch for like, it's all going fuck? Again, I'm in my 40s now, and I'm starting to get that feeling of like, damn, it's zipping by quick. like the youth really zipped by quick. Well, and it was like, but I want to start embracing more, like, understand, like, hell yeah. It's like, it's kind of good. It's like, watch life go, watch your kids grow.
I'm so happy with my life now. I married a great man. I have a beautiful house in the Hamptons. And, you know, there are rock stars here. And sure. I ran into Roger Waters the other night, you know, different people. And BB's in Nashville, of course, so she gets to see a lot of people. So, you know, it'll always be part of us. And I think we'll always be in it somehow.
We are who we are. You know, it's connections. Most of our connections are lifelong, except for the people that we've lost, sadly. But, thing is I feel bad for kids today because they're not going to have the same innocence and the same spontaneity that we had, because everybody knows that drugs are really bad for you now. Yeah. Everybody knows that cigarettes are really bad for you now. And everybody knows that dating 14-year-olds is not okay.
Hey, hang on a second.
It's a very different world. And I think
took it too far with that last one, BB. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to step in here.
What I mean, I'm just saying that I think that Liz and I lived during the greatest part of all of that.
Well, what's also crazy is there's not too many people that you think of when you think of the Muse rock and roll icons. There's not many. And it's just amazing to hear that, you know, not only that you lived these stories, but that you're still alive and well. A lot of these people didn't make it out the other side. So that's an amazing thing to say.
Now there's different. Well, now the world's more equal. Like Shannon actually
we were never
a 13-year-old rock star.
We were never really into drugs with Chelsea.
You know, I mean, we did our share. I'm not going to say I never did a drug because I certainly did. But my drug of choice was pot.
Me too.
While everybody was out there.
You're speaking Jay's language right now.
Mm. Yeah. We're potheads from way back.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to suck off Joe Perry.
Oh, there you go, kiddo. Well, and I think now things are just, everything is more dangerous.
Yeah, that's for sure.
The world's more polluted. Food is more screwed up and they have GMOs. I mean, gosh, I don't even think they started making TV dinners until I was, you know, 10 years old.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a different world. I can't even put my finger on it. I mean, like right now, here we are. I'm getting my first vaccine tomorrow, by the way.
I got you beat because I'm about 20 years older than you. So I was able to do it.
You are so not 20 years older. You're just a puppy. Look at you. What are you, 30?
Yeah, I'm 30. How old do you think Jay is?
Let me look at him.
He's got an 18-year-old daughter.
I mean, he looks like a kid.
He does.
If I'm 30, you know, how old is Jay?
I think you're like in your 30s.
So we're about the same age. We look about the same age, you think?
He's not on the screen. I can't see him. They didn't
Jay,
give
talk
me
a little bit. Jay, talk so they
check,
can be
check.
On the screen.
Hello.
Hey. Let me see Jay again.
Hey, what's up?
Let me look at him.
Take a peek.
No, he looks like he's in his late 20s, early 30s.
All right, so he looks a little younger than me, you think?
I didn't say that. All right. It's his style makes him look a little younger.
Right, the desperation of like, let me put some color in my hair to make myself look younger. I get it. I get what you're saying.
Sure. You both look like you're in your 30s to me.
Well, you just made me very happy because
Ralph's in his deep 50s.
I'm in my 50s and Jay's in his 40s. Yeah.
And I'm in my 40s, yeah.
There you go.
You're how old? Jay, how old are you?
I'm 43.
Can I have some of that?
Oh my God, you're the same age as my daughter. That's right.
Crazy. Yeah, that's great.
That's right.
Shannon over there, she is 41. She looks great for 41.
I shall.
Well, be careful there, kid.
God, I remember.
Don't show kids up to death.
I was in the hospital when Liv was born. My God, 43 years ago.
That's crazy. Wow. That's really
wild. 44. She's going to be 44 this summer.
Let me ask you one last major question here that I hope you'd answer. Maybe you won't because so far I'm striking out.
You going to ask me about rock star stuff again?
It's a question about this. Like, of all the
men
that you were involved with.
Is it true that the drummer from ZZ Top is the only one with a hairy penis?
I know.
Oh, my God. I so don't know the answer.
No, I know. I'm just thinking of ridiculous questions to ask.
Of the rock stars that you were involved with, who did you feel was the most musically talented?
Oh my God.
They
were. Burn.
Gosh, that's hard because.
You wish we were back on those wiener questions now, don't you?
That's hard because when you know a David Bowie as intimately as I did, not just as a boyfriend, but as a friend, you know, a person that would play me his music, a person that would ask for my opinion, or somebody like Mick Jagger. I mean, to me, I think Mick Jagger is probably the most prolific and the most consistent of every musician I've ever known. He's my spirit animal. I will always have a soft spot for him.
I will too.
Yeah, that's Mick cool. Is a beautiful human. And
yes, I came from a different perspective because I interviewed a lot of these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In-depth interviews with them, as you do. And back in those days, it was, you know, I wasn't coming from just a journalist's point of view. I was coming from, I knew their lifestyle. Right. I lived their lifestyle. And I could get into different conversations with them than a lot of other journalists could because I knew what they were going through.
Right.
In the heyday of when you were working with interview, was there ever a notoriously difficult interview that just went awry?
You know, the only one that I ever interviewed that went a little bit awry, and it was afterwards, was what's his name from Jay Giles, Peter Wolf.
Really?
He told his manager that my skirt was too short.
For an interview?
For an interview. And he was angry for some reason. And I said, what the hell? You know, and then I saw him at Mick Jagger's house one night at a party. I said, why the hell would you care about my skirt being short? But he didn't say anything.
That is so weird.
And another person I had a rough time is with Freddie Mercury. He, you know, if you saw the movie, you saw how he treated women journalists. Mm-hmm. And they sent me to England to interview him. And I interviewed the whole band and they were so wonderful. And Freddie was so difficult. He kept running away from me. When I first met him, he was really nice. And then he kept running away from me. And we were at this party they were having. They played at Wembley, I think. And afterwards I had this party and I kept going up to him. I said, don't you want people to know what in America, what you're doing? He goes, I don't give a shit about America. I said,
By the way, Jay said that exact sentence last week.
I said, you sing about.
I was in Orlando.
I said, you sing about one world. He goes, listen, honey. He goes, I shouldn't even say this, but I have, he said.
Don't speak ill of the dead.
He said, you have a cunt in the front and I have one in the back. And that's where I sing from.
Wow. My God, that's quite a quote.
No, the Daily News wouldn't print it. I did it for the Daily News. They wouldn't print it.
Wow.
And I started crying. And I went to get a drink. And they said, the drinks are done. I couldn't even get a soda.
Oh, my God. I can't believe he said that.
He was a little too willy-nilly with that cunt in the back. You know what I'm saying?
But then,
side note, Shannon has a cunt in the front and the back.
But then I met him with...
She's three inputs, girls.
I just saw
also means he sings out of his ass.
Somebody put a picture of me and him and Sarinda and David online. Did you know that, Bibi? Of me and Freddie Mercury and Sarinda and David. Sarinda Fox and David Johansson.
Before she ran off with Steven. Right.
She ran off with Steven Tyler, of course.
I really was very all interconnected at that point. It's pretty wild. We got to do this, Jay, because it's been a pretty fast interview. We got to ask the four the questions. So, Shannon, can you hit the first?
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
The name of the show is, as you know, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, the SDR show. We asked this to every single person, and I'm excited to hear this from both of you. It's your first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll, and what we mean by that is the first concert you went to that we're going to know. Not some local band, but ideally the one you went on your own volition, not one that your parents took you to or whatnot. Yeah. Something you said at whatever age, I want to go see this band and that band. And we'll start with you, Liz.
I went to see the Beatles.
Whoa.
They came in on the Jet Clipper Beatles into Kennedy Airport on Pan Am. And I went and I was so small, people told me to get off my knees. And then I went to see them at Carnegie Hall.
Wow, that's
Ralph was a DJ when that happened, and he was like, "What is this new crazy, newfangled music coming from?"
No, Jay, if you remember correctly, I also was yelling at them to cut their hair. That was the big part of it.
Ralph tried to cancel Elvis for shaking his hips on Ed Sullivan.
I used to go to concerts when I was very young, though. We had a beach club. My parents didn't go with me, but I used to go see Bobby Rydell and. Dion and Fabian and
that's great.
I was just a guest on a show 2 weeks ago, and the other guest was Bobby Rydell. And so weird. I was on a show with Bobby Rydell 2 weeks
ago. What a moment in time. White doo-wop. Man, that didn't last long.
Frankie Avalon.
Great stuff. All right. So now you, BB, your first concert you went to?
The Rolling Stones when I was 11 years old. The Alan B. Shepard Convention Center. They used to call it the Virginia Beach Dome. And it was July, I think it was either July, July 3rd. My girlfriend, Joni Gross, my mother dropped me off in front and picked us up after the show. Mm-hmm. And I turned 12 about 2 weeks after the show. Wow. And so that was my first real...
That's wild. And then years later, you were like, God, Mick's being annoying today.
Isn't that- it's so funny, too.
He could be very annoying.
When he calls relentlessly at 4 a.m.
BB, what are you doing? Are you awake?
Come uptown. You know. But anyway,
By the way, I'd like to give Jay
to Netflix and chill with me tonight.
Jay's even putting in.
But I had also before I saw the Stones. I saw like Herman's Hermits, Sonny and Cher, and the Pacemakers. They would do these package gigs where they would all like play and they would do like 15-minute sets.
Yeah, they'd come up and do their three hits and move on. That was a big thing back then. Yeah,
I remember my cousin, who was raised as my sister, taking me to one of those when I was like 9 or 10.
Yeah. It's a bummer. Those only exist now, really. Overseas, they do them a lot, like the big 80s week out, and then everybody comes out and does their, like, three, you know, Rick Astley and all these people come out and just do their one song, but it looks so fun.
Yeah. Like, that's
such a great... They do a backline, so there's no change, you know, there's no, like, gear change, and everybody just comes out and does their 2-3 songs.
It's great.
That's good.
It's funny, though, after my Rolling Stones experience, I was just very nonchalant. I told my girlfriend, Joni, who's still my friend today, we met when we were fifth grade, I told her that I was going to hang out with those people. I said, those are my friends. I'm going to meet them. I'm going to know them someday. And Joni believed me. And she said, absolutely. And I went home and told my mother. I told my mother that I was going to move away and hang out with the Rolling Stones and other people that make music. And I said, that's just my life. I told my mom, and she said, okay, dear.
I said the same thing to Benny Goodman once.
I saw Rick Derringer on TV and told everybody I was going to marry him.
That's crazy. That's wild. That's just crazy. I said,
Ralph gave a hand job to a security guard to meet Beethoven.
And you want to hear another strange connection?
Yes.
When I was 17, I went to see Johnny Winter And, which was a group that Rick was in. Mm-hmm. And I was, of course, under age 17. And I was with a friend whose band opened for them, high school friend, a band called Heather, my friend Harvey Arnold, opened for Johnny Winter And. And when it was over and we were leaving to go get back in our truck, you know, the vehicle that the parents got for them to open for Johnny Winter And, in this car, Johnny Winter poked his head out and asked me if I wanted to come in the car with them. And it was Rick Derringer that said, Johnny, she's jailbait. Stop.
You got to be a different kind of confident to be an albino with that kind of swag.
Love Johnny Winter. He's my best friend.
We got to wrap it up. Let's move to drug. The first drug
Johnny
drug
was
did.
Amazing. He was first, so awesome. But the anyway, then I went on to become very good friends with him. Go ahead.
Liz, we'll go back to you. The first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed is the worst drug you ever did.
No, I was doing LSD in the 60s. I was walking. I grew up in the village, in Greenwich Village. And we would walk up to the cops and say, we're on LSD. And they'd say, what's that?
Really?
Yeah.
That's wild. Jesus. Yeah. I mean, Jay and I both live in the East Village now. That's where we are right now. Not in West Village, but that's just such a crazy thing. BB, your first drug experience after weed?
It was LSD. Real Timothy Leary based, created, made LSD. It was Orange Barrel Sunshine, I think. It was a 4-way hit. And I took a quarter.
I know about three of those words. I got lost, but I'm sure Jay understands all that reference.
I've never taken LSD.
But it was orange. You know, Liz and I, one time, we were stoned, and she was cleaning out Rick's razor, and Edgar had borrowed it, or Johnny, and all the whiskers were albino whiskers. And Liz, and as a joke, Liz and I packaged up the albino whiskers and went down to Mamoon's in the West Village. And she showed the whiskers to some kid. He goes, is that cocaine?
Yeah, we were trying to sell it for cocaine.
And Liz said, yeah, that's cocaine.
He had just taken mushrooms.
He said, $20. Liz folded up the whiskers, handed it to him. He handed us $20, and we went and got falafels at Mamoon's.
Wow, Mamoon's is still open, and he probably had the best high of his life because he probably had a lot of drugs in his whiskers.
We sold Edgar Winter's whiskers.
That's great. That is a great story.
He went home and planted that bag. He went home and planted that bag, and a beanstalk grew to the heavens.
We had
magical
so many
albino whiskers. That's hilarious.
We had so many stories. We were hoping to talk about more of them today.
By the way, Mamoon's still going strong.
Yeah,
it's great. The
franchise.
Best.
Franchise.
I have
now, by
dreams
the way.
About Mamoon's falafels.
I have good news for you. It's franchise now, and Nashville might be one of the places it's down in.
Wow.
Well, I hope so because I've petitioned for that for 6 years now.
Remember we went with Gene Simmons?
You got to jump in ground floor and franchise it yourself. Open up Mamoon's.
Remember we went with Gene Simmons and his limousine to go get Mamoon's?
He didn't pay for it, I bet.
Yeah, he did.
I'm joking.
The first time you had sex, Liz.
With Rick.
That was the first time.
I met Rick when I was 14, 14, 15.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, and I was married by the time I was 18.
That's nuts. And you were married for how many years?
I was married till 92, I think.
Jay, did you say rock and roll?
You got married in 69.
Hang on, Sloopy.
Hey.
Hang on, Sloopy. We had
and BB, BB, your first time?
My first absolute full-on was with Todd.
Oh, really? Wow, your both first times was with rock stars. That's so cool.
I had made out with guys. You know, I had like kissed and.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Done all that kind of stuff.
I mean, we've all done that.
My first kiss was Paul Kelsall. And, but yeah, my very first actual complete sexual act was Todd.
Ladies, before we go, lead singer of Bad Company, Paul Rogers, big wiener. What's the rumors?
Love Paul Rogers. I interviewed him. I loved him.
Why would we know anything about his freaking wiener?
You guys are in the mix. Girls talk, you know.
Paul Rogers is wiener?
Of all the people, Jay, why Paul Rogers?
Not even in my worst nightmare.
I want to see if it would be Bad Company.
Bad Company.
Bad Company.
That explains it.
The day I die. Yeah. Well, right, he had a pretty hairy chest. That much I know.
Well, that sometimes means.
And Sarinda took pictures when I interviewed Paul.
And let's run around the room and do plugs of everything you want to promote. We'll start with you, Liz.
I want to promote my new restaurant that's opening that I'm involved in out here. It's a very famous restaurant in Southampton called the Lobster Inn.
I know the Lobster Inn. I used to go to the Hamptons a lot. So as a kid, I haven't been there in a long time.
And my girlfriend just bought it. And my husband and I are founders. And we can't wait for it to open. And
Ralph will be there. He comes from
Jerusalem. Going to be, you know, very much a part of it. And all the coolest people out here. We have one of the best restaurant owners from Sen Restaurant in Sag Harbor. He's partners and he knows everybody.
That's great.
This restaurant. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And I can't wait.
And BB?
I'm going to make another record. I'm due. I put my last record out in 2018, but I did that single with the Dandy Warhols, which you can get now. It's a cover of Femme Fatale, The Velvet Underground with Nico. And I'm also writing my follow-up to my New York Times best-selling autobiography, Rebel Heart. It's 20 years since Rebel Heart came up. And
20 years already?
It came out in 2001.
Wow.
And then 9/11 happened right when I was supposed to start the book tour.
Right.
And then the paperback came out in 2002. But I'm writing the follow-up to that now.
And it's
compiling a photo book, a coffee table photo book of unseen photographs.
Is your follow-up book from that when that book ends to now? Is that the idea?
It is. And it readdresses I've got a frequently asked questions chapter. Mm-hmm. So all the questions I've been asked for the last 20 years are going to get answered in that chapter.
I have to imagine we're not
Let me say also, your Playboy shoot, I mean, just...
Yeah. Yeah,
beautiful. I mean, fantastic.
Yeah, and by the way, if you want to see Hypnotic, watch her interview on Joe Franklin. It really was a hypnotic interview. Really amazing.
That's sweet. Thank you. I met Dan Aykroyd after that.
You know what was great about that interview, by the way? I don't know the last time you watched that interview, but in the middle of the interview, there's an ad for paint, like a paint ad, but it's paint for women. So it's like it was a can of paint that smells nice for women. It was really bizarre. It's like such a 70s or 80s thing.
Finally, your girl brains can handle paint.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was like for women.
So that's what I'm doing. I'm just continuing to make music. I can't wait to get back on stage again. Yeah. I'll be coming back to New York to play. I think I'm going to do Joe's Pub again, but I also want to play my friend Jesse Malin's club, the Bowery Electric.
Right.
I want to go back to my roots a little bit.
These are all two blocks from my house. Everything you're saying.
You're gonna come, aren't you?
I did my my Comedy Central special at Webster Hall, which was a very cool thing me.
Yeah.
Living here in the East, I was able to walk to it. That was so cool.
And Jesse sold the bar on the corner of 7th and A. He doesn't have it anymore, but
right, I know that.
Yeah, but he's such a New York East Village icon, Jesse. It's really cool.
Yes, but the Bowery Electric is still going strong, and I think they're going to try to open up again at minimal.
We did our show there once.
Yeah.
Well, minimal capacity because of COVID, they can't fully open up, but they're doing their best. Yeah. I just got an email.
Yeah, but, I think next month it starts at 20% or something. I think
33.
Yeah, pretty wild. All right, Jay, your plugs as we wrap up.
BigJComedy.com. I'm on the road next couple weekends. I'll be in Salt Lake City at Wise Guys this Friday and Saturday. 4 shows. LOL Comedy Club in San Antonio, Texas, the weekend after that. Liberty, Ohio, which is basically Cincinnati, Ohio, the weekend after that. Kansas City coming up. Providence, Rhode Island. Things are starting to open back up.
And come I'm to the Hamptons. Vaccinated.
Are there comedy clubs in the Hamptons? I don't even know if there are any comedy clubs.
Come to Nashville.
I'll be back at Nashville Zanies for sure. I was just there about a month and a half ago.
Will they automatically put me on the list?
Absolutely.
And I will come.
The Suffolk Theater has comedy sometimes.
Oh, that's
cool. Yeah, I've done stuff up in there before. I've done Sag Harbor before. I've definitely done Sag Harbor before, but I got a bunch of stuff. Dates are opening up again now, so I'm out and I'll be vaccinated.
Yay,
so.
Yay.
Vaccination. Shannon, your plugs real quick.
And watch my Netflix special, Ralph.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Jeez, you trailed off. It's not my fault. You trailed off, buddy. Keep with it. Shannon?
I feel like he's just waiting for me to start.
Oh, beautiful. I didn't even... There you are. What a beautiful... Hi, beautiful girl.
Right, she looks great for 41, right?
41. It's too close to my actual age to really be funny, though.
It is.
I think she looks like your daughter, B. I've really thought she has a very Liv Tyler thing about her.
Well, to me, my daughter is so unique. This girl is very beautiful. They're all beautiful.
But she's a dog pig compared to your daughter. I get it. I understand what you're saying.
I mean, BB, that's a little harsh, BB, to come out like that. That's pretty wild.
BB would never say anything.
I'm reading between the lines. You're saying it without saying it. I understand.
I would never. I told her how beautiful she is. I just don't see my daughter.
Turn your camera off. You're upsetting everybody.
What I'm saying is I don't see my daughter in anyone. I see only her.
Of course.
I see you.
Shannon, your plugs, please.
Follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts.
Before we wrap up, do either of you believe in ghosts? Yes or no?
Sure.
Absolutely.
All right. Good answers. That'll make Shannon happy. Follow me at I Am Ralph Sutton, and my health and wellness podcast that I do with the founder of Juice Press is called The Good Sugar Podcast. Ladies, thank you so much for being a part of the
Annie
show.
Moosh.
And Ani Moosh. Ani, why don't you put on a plug right now, Ani?
Sure. Ani_Moosh. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. And check out my website, AniMooshMedia.com.
All right. Thank you, Ani. And it was a good call.
We were able to say, follow us on this.
That's
and
why
that.
I said your plug. Of course, that's what I meant. And by the way, first, Ani, thank you for keeping your camera off because you may have upset the ladies. Be good. Do any
Oh, my
you
God, Shannon,
say.
Please.
If you guys think Shannon's ugly,
crap.
Ani is going to just.
Don't listen to them.
BB, you want to do the social media plugs then?
Yeah, I mean, my favorite is Instagram. So it's Instagram, Real, R-E-A-L, B-B, B-E-B-E, Buell, B-U-E-L-L, Real B-B Buell, Instagram.
Great. All right, and that's it, everyone. The song of the week. How about this? I'll let you girls pick the song. We end the show every week with a song of the week, thesdrshow.com/playlist. Why don't you guys debate it, and we'll figure out what that last song of the show is going to be.
Okay. What do you think, Theo?
Let's do Can You Hear Me Knocking?
Great song. All right, let's do it, and we'll see you next week on the SDR Show.
Yeah! listening to the SDR Show.